Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sucharita, our weekly free call that we offer here through Pillai Center. And it is Sunday, May 18th, 2014. My name is Sucharita, and I'll be guiding you today through this powerful class that we're going to have. We have our astrologer, Radha, who is going to give us an overview of the sun transiting into the second sign of the zodiac, which is Taurus. And she's going to give us some tips and guidelines for us to get the most out of the energy as the sun transits. So there's a few planetary transits that are coming up too as well, and she'll speak a little bit about that, because anytime a planet moves, it's going to impact you, depending on where the planet is in your chart and the strength and all that kind of stuff. If you're not familiar with astrology, you'll certainly will pick some interesting tidbits up that can be, you don't necessarily have to know anything about astrology, but the energy will resonate with you, or the message will resonate with you. And that's what we're here to do, is see what's going on every week. Like last week, we had an incredibly powerful week. We started off with Mother's Day Pradosham, where we all met here on the program call. And then the Soma Pradosham was on the Monday, and that's a really powerful Pradosham to be participating in. And Pradosham means it's an opportunity to get a fresh, clean slate. It happens on a 13th moon in the waxing and waning cycle. And then we had the full moon, which was on the Tuesday in the U.S. In, this is according to the U.S. calendar, North America. And so we had Lord Narasimha's birthday was on that as day as well. So it was a really powerful time, because Narasimha is the lion-headed being who he destroys the negative ego. And what we mean by that is, you know, we go around, we say, yes, we really want to change our life. We just want to transform ourselves. And it has to happen now. I can't live the rest of my life in this state, and everything I do and I work so hard and it doesn't manifest. And that in and of itself keeps perpetuating. So Narasimha will come and he'll destroy that, so it doesn't keep looping. Or any other thing that's going on, say you come across bad health, things are going along, and all of a sudden, you know, you get taken out with a health problem. And so you can pray to get that removed, and so on, finances, relationship, all the rest that we talk about every week. So that was last week with Lord Narasimha, the full moon, and then Vishnupati. Vishnupati happens six times a year. And then that was a really powerful time, and it also coincided with the sun entering Taurus. And Vishnu is an archetype who is related to maintaining or protecting our manifestations. And he's also associated with the sun. So the sun transiting into the sign of Taurus is the second house, and that's our house of earnings. So our focus will be all about how we can hold on to our earnings. And because the tendency is, okay, you got to pay the bills, got to pay the rent or the mortgage, got to pay, you know, credit cards off, things like that. And then the rest we just don't really pay attention to, because there's usually not too much left over after all that. But so when the sun is entering Taurus, it's illuminating that second house, and it's illuminating, lighting up how we behave towards money coming in, and then can we keep it, and can we put it into some of it into savings? And we've talked about this before in previous programs, and many of you have shared about it as well, that you just set up a separate bank account. It doesn't even matter how much it is, but you're that consciousness. Savings is a consciousness. So it starts to build and build, and then all of a sudden you're putting more and more in, and then you'll find that you have the money to do the things that you want to do, instead of the thing coming up, the event coming up, or say the car breaks down and you need a new car, and then you have to take out another loan and all the rest. So you will have this savings consciousness, if you're focusing this month, these 30 days, starting from last week, to really empower all your thoughts and all your actions and set your goal this month to pay attention to the income coming in and then also where it's going. And even if there's nothing at the end of your paycheck or whatever it is, that however you get paid, then you can still put something towards, because you go into that overdraft anyways. So just start putting, like, even if you just start with $10 and put it in there, that will start to shift your consciousness, and then it will build, and all of a sudden you will see, oh, I can put in more. I can put in more. I can put in more. So just try it. This is a tip, or a practice that when we're doing the meditations or you're doing your practices, depending on which program you had and you have been in or you're still in, and you like your meditations, and then you can just add these kinds of tidbits to help you to go deeper into your meditations. And like Dr. Ply said now, we want to have a life that's not 100% material and 100% spiritual so much anymore. It's intensely spiritual and intensely material. So set your intent on bringing more spiritual energy into your life every day, and that will build. It was like a spiritual bank. So you're investing every day into your spiritual bank, and that return will manifest for you. It will help you, give you the energy to manifest. So that was last week. Those were pretty powerful days. And so if you felt like, oh my God, I'm a little bit burnt out on the weekend, no doubt. So, take care, take rest, make sure that you, eat properly and hydrate yourself. And then as this week is coming up with all these planets, there's Mars, Mercury, and Venus shifting, transiting, and they're going to impact us. And we'll find more about that when Radha does her little discussion on the sun transit. It's not a little discussion. It's a very important discussion, and it's really powerful. So I hope you'll stay on after the meditation. Right now I'm going to take us into meditation. And one of the things that I wanted to focus on today's meditation is how to bring in Kala Bhairava's energy. Kala Bhairava is the archetype of time. And people will say, well, what does that mean? Well, every thought, every word, every action that you do has a reaction in everyday life. But when you tap into Kala Bhairava's energy, his energy is available on the eighth waning moon cycle. So now we're going into a waning moon after the full moon last week. It goes into waning, and it's now going to be the eighth day on Tuesday, at least here on the North American calendar. And Kala Bhairava, if you pay attention to him, and we're going to do a mantra today in the practice, and if you pay attention on that day, he will start to put you in the right place at the right time, thinking, saying, and doing the right thing. And then you'll be able to manage your time wisely. And I'll just give you a little bit of how Kala Bhairava has played out for me in the past week. I am now in India. I didn't know I was going to go. And then I left on it. I was called about a week ago, a week prior to. And I had to get an India visa and, do all these things to sort of wrap things up, because I'm going to be here for an undetermined amount of time, depending on Dr. Ply, what he wants me to do here. But I will be here for a couple of months. So it's going to be great, because I can share with you the experiences I'm having here. And then if I go to some temples or vortexes, I'll definitely share that with you. So it'll be a fun broadcast in the coming weeks and months. And so I'm just thinking, okay, this has got to happen, because visas don't necessarily happen so easily. And I was just praying, you know, to Kalabhairava, and I just said, you have to make this happen without any effort, because I still had to do my own, my everyday work before I was going, plus I had to pack and all the rest, and settle things here because I won't be back, settle things back home because I won't be there for a while. And everything fell into place. And even I was on the computer looking at the flights. And Dr. Fly is always like, be conscious. Don't think just because what you see on the screen is what is going to be what you have to pay. And so I was Skyping with my friend who was helping me to book the flight. And so I was just went into my midbrain. And I just was like looking at the costs of the flight and the times that they were leaving, and I didn't want to go for a 14-hour flight. I wanted to do it half and half, and I wanted to do it just so that I didn't have a long stopover, and I was having all this like hissy fit around how I wanted it. And I thought I was being so picky, and the person on the other line was like, you're just too picky, just get on the 14-hour one, you'll be fine. And I was determined that I was not going to have that kind of flight. I wanted what I wanted. And I just put it in my third eye, and boom, there it was, exactly the day that I wanted to leave, exactly the time I wanted to leave. And then what happened, which was so exciting for me anyway, was that as we were booking it, the price dropped $80 within like a two-minute time that I flashed the screen. So I was like, thank you, Kalabhairava. You made it happen so easy. And that's the time jumping that Dr. Pillai talks about. So we're going to propitiate the Kalabhairava so that you can practice it. And then as you cultivate that energy within you, you just put it in your third eye and you pray to this archetype. And then you just say how you want it to go. And then things will be that way. Because as Dr. Pillai says, you have to be utterly positive. It's like you have to be a Toys R Us kid. I just want that. I want it so badly. And you can't tell me online that that's the only thing that's available. And sure enough, it was like a miracle. The screen changed, and then I logged in again, and boom, there it was. So here I am now, and I'm in a beautiful, beautiful place that I'm staying in. It's like Vrindavan. And I walked into the gates, and there was a Krishna statue there at the entrance. And, you know, everyone is here so happy and delightful. And I just taught my first class here, partially taught the class. They had a class going here. And so then I said I would do a meditation for Kalabhairava. And then the girl, one of the girls that was here said, can you please record the meditation? And I said, well, if you jump on Sundays with Sujrita, you can get the recording. So that's what we're going to do right now. So now Radha is going to talk to us about the time shaktis or time energies. And that includes planets, because the planets, every time they shift, they're going to tell us about how we are in that period of time. The sun is transiting now, illuminating the second house. And the sun is all about our soul. So it's going to get to the soul level instead of just robotic behavior. And then give a divine life with respect to second house matters. So Radha, are you there? Oh, I have to. Sorry, yeah. Jeez. Gotta unmute you. Thanks. Okay, I think you should be ready to go.
Good morning. This is Radha.
Hi, Radha.
Hi, thanks for the meditation. Wow, it seemed like that went by in a flash.
No time. Maybe it did, I don't know.
Yeah, great. Well,
so what can you tell us about the sun transit?
Sure. We just the sun just transited into Taurus this week. In North America, it was on this past Wednesday, the 14th of May. And sun is going to stay in Taurus for about a month until June 15th, which is actually, that's interesting. It'll be transiting on Father's Day next time. But we for this month, the sun is lighting up Taurus, which is the natural second house, and it's ruled by Venus. So we can just talk a little bit about what that might mean for our lives in this month and what energies that will that could make available for us to take advantage of. Now, the sun, as we've talked about before, is our soul. The sun signifies our father, royal consciousness, and activity. Actually, as a side note, the sun has just entered Taurus, and then you know, each of the zodiacs contains like subsets of stars called nakshatras or birth stars, and there's 27 of them in total. And so sun is in the zodiac of Taurus, but at the same time, right now, sun is in the star called Kritika. And then the sun will move on to a different star, you know, in a week or so, I think, which will be different. But Kritika, it's really interesting, is ruled by the sun. And it's a Pleiadian star. It's associated with the Pleiadian god, Muruga. Kritika has to do with the sun. It has to do with purification by burning or cutting. It could be pretty intense. And I just thought that was interesting. We were talking about that recently, you and I, Sucharita, that there's been this outbreak of wildfires in Southern California recently. Well, sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's just like this intense sun energy of purification by fire is what I'm noticing. But not to worry, sun is not going to be in Kritika all month. It's just a short time. But it is interesting because Kritika has to do with the Pleiadians who are bringing the higher consciousness to the earth plane. And, okay, so the sun is in Taurus, which is also called Rishabha. That's the name in Sanskrit. Taurus is a grounded and luxury-loving sign. It's like the sign of material life and material comforts. Rishabha is fixed earth. And it's represented by a bull. That's its symbol. A bull is a very grounded animal because he has all 4 feet firmly on the ground. And a bull is associated with wealth because there's a big statue of a bull on Wall Street in New York. And when the market, stock market goes up, it's a bull market. And when it goes down, it's a bear. So Taurus has a lot to do with accumulating wealth. And Taurus is ruled by Venus. And Venus is a planet of beauty, of wealth, the arts, pleasure, love and devotion, and harmonizing things. Venus is really important. Venus helps us, as are all the nine planets, but Venus helps us determine what things are worth to us in terms of time and money and energy. And it's good that we were just talking about Kalabhairava, and we do have the Kalabhairava's day, the eighth waning moon, happening this Tuesday night, Wednesday, because time, Kalabhairava is in charge of time. And what is time? Time actually is money and wealth and energy. So Venus helps us determine what things are worth. And it's interesting now because Venus is still exalted in Pisces until the end of the week, until Friday. And so Venus is at maximum power. And so it's exalted Venus brings in energies of romance, improving relationships, creating wealth, and it also reminds us of the importance of the goddess energy for enlightenment, because Pisces is the 12th house of the zodiac, which has to do with enlightenment. And isn't it interesting that such a material luxury, an arts-loving planet like Venus, is exalted in Pisces? And I think it just shows the importance of goddess energy for enlightenment. It's not all about the male gods. It's also about the goddess. So this time, Venus actually will be transiting to Aries at the end of the week. It won't be exalted anymore. But, you know, Aries is a zodiac of action. So it could give us, it could be good in that it gives us the desire to go after material comforts and to get them quickly. Now, back to Sun in Taurus. Taurus is the natural second house of the zodiac. And so it has to do with accumulating wealth. It has to do with anything having to do with your finances and income. And, you know, there's different types of income. But the second house has to do with the income that we need to come in constantly for our everyday expenses. It has to do with, like, our resources for our maintaining ourselves. And it has to do, like, food and cooking and shelter, that kind of stuff. And then second house has to do with food and eating and also speech. There's a connection with family as well. And so with Sun in Taurus, maybe a good time to take some action to improve your diet, also to improve your finances in some way, improve money management skills. And it would be good to avoid impulsive spending and avoid eating too much or saying words that you might regret later that you didn't think about before you said them. It could be a good time to use your voice to get what you want, maybe to improve one's public speaking. And it's a good time to take action with regards to money, but in a prudent way, not in a rash way, but in a prudent way, take action for creating more income. So those are the things that, the energies that we would expect to be available this month, because Sun is activity, and Venus has to do with arts and pleasure and wealth. And so Sun and Taurus can give us an uplifting energy and where we are discovering the beauty and artistry of life. And we can show others that. And it can help us to have more stamina and to be fixed in our purpose. So that's an overview of that. We have, before we go on to the other time shaktis or time energies that are going to be happening this week, do you have any comments to add to that, Sucharita?
No, I think that's great, because it's, when you were saying about the fires in California, and that's just manifested, you know, because you're on the coast there, and that's pertaining to you, and it relates to, you can relate to it, so you don't have to be scared about it. I mean, you have to be safe, but you also have to be thinking, okay, well, if this fire energy is physically manifesting in the world, wherever we are, you can use it, that cue, that physical cue, to say, okay, what can I purify in my life? So the fire is a physical thing, and it's going to burn things down. God bless the people who it's affecting, because, you know, it's not a great thing to be happening. However, you have to also look and say, okay, what is it that I need to do here? What's the lesson in this, or what's the message in this? Because the universe is always giving us clues, and wherever we are in our world, that's our karma. So if our karma is to be right in that situation, in that crisis, then you have to, you know, quickly get safe, but also look at it and say, okay, is this a good place for me to be? How often does this happen? do I need to get out of here? Or, you know, in the future when it's calmed down, or just if we're not there, we can say, well, this is going on, so it's cueing me to purify myself. Because now, when you purify yourself, and as the sun goes into the second house, you get to create a new reality. And it's interesting because the second house is all about creating beauty, creating something better than what was before. So if we're in alignment with the sun's energy and we're in a natural alignment, it doesn't mean that we have to go to the other side of the world like I am to experience a beautiful big place that's, you know, I don't know, huge compared to my place in Toronto. And it's, you know, it's in a glorious part of the city and things like that. That it's almost like the divine is saying, okay, now go, you need a break after the long winter in Toronto. And as you've all heard me say, how terrible it has been over the weeks and months previously. And now here I am and get to experience the sun is physically moving me to go and experience beauty and experience comfort and still do your work, but share with others how that happened. So, you know, the universe is always giving us clues. The sun is illuminating because it's our soul. Our soul wants to experience this, so we get it. So we pay attention. And it will do it. It will move us to do it, whether we want to or not. But some people will just be stuck in the old way. Which was like I was like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to get on a plane and I'm supposed to be there in a week. Right. Okay, better get to it. So, you know, being on the spiritual path doesn't mean spacing out. It means paying attention to, as Radha is sharing with us, about the sun, what it's illuminating for these 30 days, and then creating a new, now we get to create a beautiful reality. You can do that in your own home. You don't have to jump on a plane and go to the other side of the world. You can just, you know, look at your surroundings and say, I want to have such and such in my house or my apartment or wherever it is, or I want a new car, or I want my relationship to be just so loving. I just need to feel, I need to feel the love in my relationship or in my family or in at my workplace. Clean up your workstation. Clean up your house. Clean up your relationship and beautify it. Don't just clean it up, scrub, scrub, scrub. Go in to say, how can I make this beautiful? How can I be speaking to others differently? So, so that's all I wanted to say about the sun transiting. And it's kind of interesting because it just, you know, when it moves from Aries, where it's burning, purifying, and then it comes into Taurus, it's purified everything. So now it's time to manifest. And then income can be physically, like you just said, like it can be food that you take in. If you're taking in the wrong food, how's your energy level going to be? So just for these 30 days, if you don't do it ever again, but these 30 days, if you pay attention to the food that we're taking in, the speech that we're saying, if maybe we should zip our lips during this month and not say so much, but feel more or express ourselves in a different way by body language, by facial expression. So it's not that you go into silence mode. You just, instead of blah, 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 blah all the time and then words slip out or comments slip out, like you said, you don't want to be saying that. Be conscious of what you're saying because the second house is going to make you do that because your karma is going to say, okay, we're going to make your speech be good or not so good. So we have to be totally aware. So you might want to use other ways of communicating. Hug people more. If you want a good relationship, just go up and hug your spouse or hug your mate or hug your kid and don't say a word. Just do that. Hug your own self if you don't have a spouse or people around you. You know, be kind to yourself. Take care of yourself. You know, take bubble baths or something like that. And I mean, you too, guys, you know, not just girls. You know, treat yourself as you would, like babying yourself, you know, nurturing yourself. And then that's where the goddess, as Radha was saying, the goddess comes in, and that's enlightenment. Like Dr. Pillai says, you don't have to go to a cave and suffer. You can be in a beautiful, he says, I prefer to be in a beautiful seven-star hotel than to be in, you know, an ashram. Because that's a consciousness. It's a choice. So what's the difference? God is not a killjoy. He wants you to have heaven on earth. So you bring heaven on earth by experiencing it yourself. And then you'll be very comfortable and you'll share those comforts with others so easily because you'll be totally feeling abundant and wanting to do that. So that's what I wanted to share about that, Radha.
Great. Yeah. Okay, so I'm excited about that now. And just looking at this week ahead, we have some interesting time shaktis or energies coming up. Let's see. Today is the fifth waning moon, by the way, which is a good time to worship goddesses and gods and goddesses. And tomorrow we're going to have the sixth waning moon, which is the power time for Mars and Maruga, the Pleiadian god. And then Tuesday is going to be pretty interesting, pretty powerhouse day, I do believe, because Mars has been retrograde, but on Tuesday he's going to go direct. So Mars is a planet of courage, action, problem-solving, energy or fire, and passion, and the courage to do what's right. And so he's going to be going direct and being able to express his mission, his energy more directly. And Tuesday is the day that Mars rules, actually, in Maruga. So it's going to add to the energy. And then the birth star or nakshatra of that day is Dhanishta, which is ruled by Mars and Maruga again. So it's like everything's lining up to have a big Mars and Pleiadian day on Tuesday. Dhanishta is a star that has to do with manifestation, like manifesting wealth and positive manifestations. And it's also related to fame and to having immaculate timing. So that's going to be interesting. And then at the end of the day, Tuesday, and then we're talking North American times here, the eighth waning moon for Kala Bhairava is going to start, the god of time. You only get the eighth waning moon once every month, and it's a very important time for divine time management or time yoga. Dr. Pillai has been talking a lot lately about timeline jumping in his last two webcasts, which were very powerful. It might be a nice time to rewatch those. You know, they've made clips of those webcasts, and it's on YouTube. That evening or the next day, Wednesday, look at those again about timeline jumping, because that's all about Kala Bhairava. He's the archetype of time. And this specific eighth waning moon on Tuesday has to do with Swarna Akarshana Bhairava. There's eight different versions or eight different, versions of Kala Bhairava. And Swarna Akarshana Bhairava has to do with gold and wealth. And the word Swarna means gold. And so this is, as we mentioned before, time is money, and time is energy. And so this is actually going to be a powerful time for healing our relationship with money and time. Let's see. So just to chant his mantra, to watch Dr. Pillai's timeline jumping seminar, or to participate in rituals, through Astroved. These are all great ways to take advantage of the eighth waning moon, which is starting again Tuesday night, and it's going throughout most of the day on Wednesday, too. And then on Wednesday, the birth star nakshatra changes to Satabisha, which is a healing star. And this causes like a trine of different planets that tends to create wealth too. So do you have anything to add on that, Sutrita, by any chance?
No, that sounds great. Like you said, Swarna Kshana Bhairava is it is gold, and people will think, well, you know, how is that going to relate to my paycheck? And when you're resonating with the energy of gold, because that's the universal currency, so when you're resonating, as Dr. Pillai says, you're imagining it, you're experiencing it, you're meditating on it, and then that's what attracts the energy of money coming in. And as you said, you know, time is money, and just to go a little bit you know, further with that, we're paid a certain amount of time for the hour, or we're paid a certain amount of time per week, or per job, or per project, per contract. So that's a certain amount of time. So when you say time is money, that's how people usually get paid. But if we're praying to Kalabhairava, then you can have your income coming in, but also other things can happen that are outside that set income. So those, because Kalabhairava will say, oh, she's paying attention or he's paying attention to, you know, their budget, you know, not overspending. And so they're really conscious, bringing consciousness in. I think I'll reward that person. And so all of a sudden someone will come along and give you tickets to go somewhere, or, you know, a gift comes, or something that you've always wanted to do, you can now do because it's, you know, it's free. A lot of people get these kinds of miracles, quote unquote, happening where, you know, they pray to the God of time, their income, their paycheck doesn't change, but all these miraculous things happen. People give them things, or they win something. Some sort of, you know, thing happens outside of the box, outside of slow time. So, and then that's Kalabhairava saying, hey, you paid attention to me, and here's what happened. People have had vehicles given to them, houses given to them, even. So, or clothes, you know, that are brand new and never worn. Things like that that can light yourself up and make your comfort level, you know, be more happy and you have that positive vibrations happening. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say about that.
Great. And then another remedy for Kalabhairava is feeding dogs. If you have a chance to feed a dog who needs food, or, you know, help out at the SPCA or something like that.
Because, and why is that, Radha?
Oh, sure, because dog is like the vehicle of Kalabhairava. Dogs are actually pretty mystical animals. And so if you feed them, you know, Kalabhairava really likes that. It helps to make friends with him.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's an important day for timeline jumping this week.
Absolutely.
Tuesday night,
absolutely.
Wednesday. And then, actually, and then after that, on Thursday is going to be pretty interesting, too, because Mercury's entering Gemini, and Mercury owns Gemini. So Mercury is going to be very, very powerful in his own sign. Mercury is the planet of communication, the mind, business, astrology, analyzing, thinking. And then Gemini is a sign that creates the great, that contains the greatest range of different energies. So it should be a good time for good communication, interest in a variety of subjects, including sciences, technology. Mercury has to do with technology, too. And then also on Thursday is going to be Dr. Pillai's birth star, which is called Purvabhadrapada. And already Thursday is Jupiter's day, and Jupiter is the guru. He's the spiritual teacher. And so then our spiritual teacher is having his birth star day, his power star, power day, that day, and which is ruled by Jupiter, too, even. Interesting. And Jupiter is the 200% planet of 100% spiritual, 100% material. And then also the moon phase on that day is going to be actually starting towards the latter part of the day, actually, though. It's going to be the 10th waning moon. And this is a moon phase that relates to Jupiter again. It's a day for increasing, it helps you to increase your connection to your spiritual teacher and to embody spiritual teachings and optimism. And on that note, too, of Jupiter, this is just a heads up. There's the big Jupiter transit that happens once a year is going to be happening about a month, in June 18th. So just to know that's going to be happening, and you might want to have that on your radar or your budget, maybe if you want to participate in some of the transit rituals, because it's always nice to catch the wave right when it begins. In other words, make friends with Jupiter right at the beginning of his transit. Whoops. And set the stage for the next 12 months when Jupiter is going to be exalted. Maximum power only happens once every 12 years. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that is happening on a Thursday, and everything is lining up with Jupiter, 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 Jupiter. So, again, Jupiter is, the teacher and everything else, but inside of us, inside of each and every one of us, if we haven't been feeling, joy coming, or even, we can't even fake it anymore. Like, we can't fake it till we make it. We're just tired of doing that. This is a day to just tune into, because, as you said, about Mercury in Gemini, it's in its own house, and Gemini is a really light sign. So things are really airy. So what things that bothered you before, it's just going to float away. And then all that Jupiter energy that will create like a fortune, luck, and grace, and joy, and positive outlook or optimism will kind of just bubble up inside of you, and you'll go, oh, my God, that's what I've been missing for a long time, because there's a lot of Jupiter energy. So Thursday, even if you are doing your work and you totally forget about your spiritual practices or this conversation that we're having now, just tune in and see, oh, I am feeling a little different. So it's great. I mean, it's a great test, too. It's a great experiment to do on yourself. Just mark a big X in your calendar on Thursday and just put Jupiter in there and then see how you feel. And you'll see if you have an exalted Jupiter, not an exalted Jupiter, some people might, but if you have Jupiter, you can read on Astrovet. It will say actually what signs are going to experience really positive flow of energy coming from Jupiter as it transits, and then there are going to be signs that maybe don't have much positive energy coming through, but then you can do these remedies to bring that energy up. So go ahead and look, this week on how Jupiter is going to transit and affect you during its transit that's coming up on June 18th. So look ahead. As Dr. Pillai said, get prepared. If you're going to have a crappy year this year, or it's not going to be so great, you got to make it, prepare for that. It's like preparing for the winter. If it's really going to be a horrible winter, you got to prepare for it. And so that you're not going to be depressed and shut in and all the rest. You're going to do things that are going to bring yourself up, or you might read more and do thing more indoor things, or get out of town and go somewhere warm. So that's how Dr. Pillai says, change your destiny. There's signs all the time. So Jupiter transiting once every 12 years is not going to be back in that sign where it's exalted. So take advantage of that, and this year will be a really powerful year for you.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. I'm just noticing that, you know, this Thursday we have so much Jupiter energy just lining up, and it's Dr. Pillai's birth star. And actually, I think it's exactly 1 month later the Jupiter will happen, and it will again be Dr. Pillai's birth star.
Radha? Radha?
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you said Jupiter is transiting, and then it kind of went away.
Oh, okay. I was just noticing this Thursday, lots of Jupiter energy, Dr. Pillai's birth star. Mm-hmm. And then exactly 1 month later will be the Jupiter transit. It will again be Dr. Pillai's birth star.
There you go.
Yeah, so I think Jupiter is ramping up the energy this starting this Thursday. And then, 1 month later, he gets exalted. And that has a lot to do with bringing in the golden age when
yes.
we have exalted Jupiter and exalted Saturn. And then Dr. Pillai's birth star, his mission has a lot to do with bringing in the golden age.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah. So then the final transit is Venus, right?
Yeah, Venus on Friday will be going into Aries, so Venus won't be exalted anymore. But, it could be Venus it will be in Aries, a zodiac of action, so it could be could help us to go after our material comforts and get things quickly.
Yeah, and it's also, isn't it also on the 11th moon?
Yeah, exactly. 11th moon is all about Vishnu, mm-hmm. Lakshmi's, the consort of Lakshmi, who Lakshmi rules Venus. And so every 11th moon is just such a powerful time for creating prosperity and also health. So I think it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, and it's on a Friday, which is Venus's day, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and some people like to fast on 11th moons, or maybe just only till sundown. I like mm-hmm. to do that, and it's always like a really nice day. Like it seems like a lot of blessings come on the 11th moons.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so we've got quite a bit going on this week, as usual, and that's the overview.
Well, thanks so much, Radha. This is there's a lot of information, but I hope that maybe we'll hear from some of the members and see what they have to say and see if it resonates with them and gives a heads up. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say before we open the line for others?
No, that's perfect. I'd love to hear from other people now.
Yeah. So all you need to do, folks, is just press *6, and then you'll be on. And did someone come on? Oh, maybe that was Radha. Yeah, so you just press *6, and you can share, your experience, maybe in the meditation. You can ask about the spelling of Udimo Bhairava, but we'll put it on the blog, and then you'll have it. Actually, I'll give it to you now. I have to write it down. It's U-D and then Y-A-M as in Michael or mother, and then O. So U-D-Y-A-M-O, that's Udimo. And then Bhairava starts with a B and an H-A-I-R. A-V-A. And You can just say that and then listen to the meditation if you want, or you can just visualize it, that light shooting from the heart center through the skull and then 12 inches above the top of the skull. You're going to experience this connection with this red being. And this red being is Kalabhairava. And somebody at this meditation today, just before this call, was saying, I felt this energy, this heaviness, so immediate. And then they went into this state of they couldn't even remember what was going on. So he will shift you out of this slow consciousness, take you to that place where things can happen very fast. And what place is it? It doesn't matter. But the energy is what you will come back with. And then that energy is what will attract situations that can make your life a lot easier, a lot smoother. People will come to you. Money will, your income, you'll have your income, your earnings that you earn, in your job or your whatever it is that you're doing to bring in your business, something like that. Then what you'll do is you will be thinking, I'm going to take a portion of this and put it towards my savings. And then that consciousness will grow. And then Bhairava will say, oh, good. So you've learned the lesson here. You're not just spending randomly, throwing it away for temporary pleasures. And so I will give you something that will be pleasing to you. So just try it out. Don't listen to us only, Radha and I, about our experiences, but try it on your own and just put in your manifestation, this is what I want to experience. Even if you have a health issue, and you haven't had a breakthrough in that, somebody might come and they say, hey, did you hear about this? So-and-so did this. Why don't you try this? And it will snap you out of it. It will snap you out of the nothing can help this to go away. Or you've been, your energy is low, or your meditations are plateauing, or your relationship is okay. Or just your comforts in life, you don't even know what you want first. Then, because maybe there's so much, you wanted to have a complete makeover of everything. And that might happen too, just like it did with me. It just, plucked me out of that karma, because that's Toronto has a certain karma, and that's what I'm supposed to live. And then, but Kalabhairava said, no, I want you here. And then just took me over the pond and then put me into Vrindavan. And it's beautiful. So not that Toronto's not beautiful, but it's a different kind of energy. So, and then when the energy changes, then the divine has ways of, shifting your consciousness. You meet different people, and then those people give you that joy that or breakthrough that you've been trying to experience, but you can't experience in the life that you are currently in. And I think somebody was saying last week that they went to a different neighborhood and they remembered how happy they were walking around in that neighborhood because they used to live there. And so you don't necessarily have to, move completely to a new place to experience a different state of consciousness, which shifts your energy and shifts the way you perceive things. And then when you have that experience, you will want to do things with more grace and ease, and that saves you time because then you're not trudging along or feeling stuck. So is there anything that anyone wants to share about their own experience, or you want to ask a question about anything that Radha has shared with us? Did anything tweak your interest in or give you a heads up? Maybe you want to share about Mother's Day. Let's see what happened to people on Mother's Day. How was it for you compared to last year? Does anyone want to share about that?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Nanya.
Hi, Nanya.
Okay, is someone else speaking? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I had an experience that's been happening for the last couple of eighth waning moons. I have a truck, and, I work in this area. And it's always a black dog that he always shows up like a day or two before the eighth waning moon. So I know it's coming up because I see the dog. And so I normally feed him. He hangs around at the hospital parking lot or like the other night I saw him at, last night I saw him at McDonald's. So I always give him treats or whatever. But he always runs, and then, when you leave, then he comes and eats. But I noticed for the last couple of eight waning moons, that black dog always shows up. And I kept thinking, I know it's coming up because he comes around. And he gets fed by other people, so he's a stray. And I think people have tried to catch him, but that's what he wants to do. He wants to be out doing his thing. And they feed him. People give him treats, and he's been taken care of, even though he's a stray. But I noticed that he always shows up, and then sometimes he'll try to chase my truck, a little distance and stuff. But I'm starting to notice that more and more, that black dog shows up like 2 to 3 days before the eighth waning moon. So that's my heads up that I knew it was coming up. I mean, I have the Astrobed calendar too, but whenever I see him, I know it's I definitely know it's coming up.
Great. And so what do you do? Do you do any remedies, or do you do any rituals or meditations?
Yeah, I do meditation, and I have done remedies before too, recently. I done one the last eighth waning moon. I did a remedy, and I told myself I try to do that each month. But now on, I mean, every time I've been seeing the dog, I've been, doing it all along, and then meditating just for those few. When I see him, I know it's coming up, so it makes me think about Calabar. But yeah, I'm starting to do more remedies each month. Like there's one coming up, so I just paid for one for. Ganesha, the coconut rituals, which is
right.
Well, Indian time, and so I'll probably go ahead and get that other one done before Tuesday, so that I have that remedy in as well. But I thought that was funny that dog showing up.
It's totally. That's what that's the cue that the divine is giving. And so we have to be totally, totally alert, as Dr. Pillai says. You don't get on the spiritual path and space out. You can space out for your meditation time, but in your life, look around for the clues or cues that nature, listen to the birds, watch, as you said, the dog is telling you, okay, pay attention to how you're valuing your time. What are you doing to propitiate Bhairava, because I'm going to be barking at you and chase you. That's Bhairava saying, I want to give you these blessings, so just talk to me. So it's great. I think it's awesome that you're tuned into that, and it's a great story. People might say, oh, yeah, that's kind of wacky, but that's okay. Yeah, they can say whatever they want. It's you that's having your own experience in life. And if that means something to you, then go for it and see what it is that you need to see. But you're noticing, hey, it's happened a couple of times already. So there's a clue that there's a shift coming up too. Because you've been paying attention, the shift will come up for you. And I'm excited to hear about it down the road.
I am. And he's funny, though. He plays by himself. And, he seems like a happy dog for someone who doesn't have a owner. But, I just thought that was funny when I saw him the other night, that he just came up and he barked for a little while, and then I fed him, and then he ran off, and then he comes back after you leave, because he doesn't want anybody to catch him, and I think that's the bottom line. He wants to be left alone. But I'm glad that you said that. That makes me pay even more attention to the other clues that are happening as well.
Yeah. It's life is an adventure.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for sharing.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Is there anyone else who would like to share what happened during maybe Mother's Day or share about Bhairava in the past experiences?
Sudrika.
Hey, who's this?
This is Dia. Dia.
Hey, Dia. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I want to say that is awesome. I'm glad that Sonia shared that. And I think it's even more awesome that it was a black dog, because I had been reading myself about Kala Bhairava, and the stuff that I read said specifically that his dog vehicle was a black dog at that. I felt like that's just his dog showing up, and that's why he always looks like he's content and happy and well fed, not like a normal stray dog might look to her. So I'm glad that she has that experience, and I'm glad she was able to share it with us.
And yeah, for sure.
And for myself, for myself, I had, ever since I watched Dr. Pillai's masterclass, I had been focusing on the time element for my own life events. So during that masterclass, when I think his name was Wasu, he gave his testimony of the things that had happened to him since he had come to Dr. Pillai. And one of the things that he mentioned was that he had been doing the Kala Bhairava meditation. And so I went trying to research to try to find which one he might have done, because I knew that there were several different ones. But what I ended up settling on was, you know, I mentioned in the past that I like to do mantra writing, because I have a lot of time at work where I'm just sitting around, so I have time to write and meditate. So I looked on, I think it was both on the Astroveda site and on the Pillai Center site. They have a section on mantra writing where you could actually have a proxy person over in India to do the writing for you. But I like to do my own writing, so the mantras that they had for Kala Bhairava, I started writing those out in my mantra writing notebook. And I actually had started that on the 3rd of May. And the last time that I had gone to the big temple in my area, I had picked up a flyer, and the flyer said that they were going to start doing Kala Bhairava meditation every month on the 8th waning moon. So I made a mental note at that time that I wanted to be able to go back there and participate, mainly because I wanted to start attending more of the ceremonies at that temple and not just going for the major events and all. So I felt like the Kala Bhairava meditation would be a good time for me to go. And also, I had been thinking about that all week, that, oh, I want to make sure that I get there on Wednesday for that 8th waning moon Kala Bhairava meditation. So I was glad when you started out this morning saying that you were going to do the Kala Bhairava meditation. So I was like, that's good. I have more to work with throughout the week.
Oh, that's fantastic. How was your Mother's Day?
Mother's Day was quite interesting. We actually celebrated on the Friday before, because I think I mentioned last time my mother is a gospel singer, so we had her concert. And so we didn't really do much on that Sunday, because my brother and I both work at night, so we did things on Friday and Saturday. And a lot of things happened. My coworker, that the only other female that works with me, she has been gone for, I guess, almost a month or so now, because her mother had been diagnosed with cancer. So she was back home staying with her mother, and her mother actually passed away the Saturday right before Mother's Day. So I had been doing meditations on her behalf. And so I was glad that we had talked about months and months before when her mother first received the diagnosis. We had talked about her doing exactly what you said earlier about putting stuff away in savings so that she would have it in case of an emergency. And I told her, I said, you know, you want to be able to, if at any time you need to leave this job and go and see about your mother, you can do that. And when the time came, she had the money there, and she was able to just go. And I told her, you know, she went and she came back, and then I told her again, I said, look, if you need to be there, don't sit here and worry about this job. It's going to be here because you're going for your parent. You're not going for a aunt or a friend or something, so they can't just fire you from this job for going about to see her mother. So we talked, and she was able to find out that she could get a medical furlough so that she could go and spend that time with her mother. And I just, when I heard about her mother's passing, I told her, I said, I'm so glad that you were able to spend that time with her. You know, because I'm like, forget about all the things that we've gone through and that we share with each other about our relationships with our mother. I was like, when it comes down to that, those last days, you lay all of that aside and you just go and just be there. And I was so thankful for that. So I felt like that for me was the best thing that happened on Mother's Day. And then later that evening, I know you had mentioned it was Pradosham. So I made a mental note that I wanted to do the Abhishekam to Shiva Lingam. And I don't have a crystal Shiva Lingam, but I do have a Shiva Lingam that I did an Abhishekam with. And I didn't remember that you said to use the Tirunila Kantam Makaral Shivaya Nama mantra. So when I sat down to do it, I just did the Om Namah Shivaya mantra throughout the whole time. And I knew that was fine too after I read some other things after the fact. But what really shocked me was that when I was almost to the end of it, I decided to reach into my mala bag and pull out my mala. So I keep them all wound up inside the bag, and I reached in to pull them out. And just as I pulled them out of the bag, the most recent one that I had received was the crystal mala for the Swayambhara Parvati.
Mm-hmm.
It broke.
Oh.
It just broke. I didn't do anything to cause it, but when I just pulled it out, it just broke. And initially, 9 beads fell off. And when I went to pick it up, 9 more beads fell off. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't know how to take this. Is this a bad sign? Is this a good sign? I don't know. But I was just devastated. And so I put everything away, and I decided that, you know, I'm going to meditate on this being a negative thing. I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm just going to go to sleep. And when I wake up, maybe I'll have some better answers. So when I woke up later, I think maybe a couple of hours later, I decided to just Google to see if that happened to anybody else ever, and if so, what did they do or what did it mean for them. So what I found out was it was on both sides of the fence. Some people said it meant something negative. Some people said it meant something positive. But most of the ones that I found said that it meant something positive, and the positive thing that it meant was that something had broken in your atmosphere because you had just learned something major.
Right.
And I was like, wow, wow. On top of the fact that it was not just my crystal mala, but it was the one that I specifically ordered for the Swayambhara Parvati, which is the meditation towards marriage to if you've been having delays in marriage and things of that nature. So I had done the meditation several months, like November of last year, I did the meditation. But I was just now in, I think, February, ordering the yantra and the malas. So I never had even got a chance to do any japa with these beads. So for that particular set of mala beads to break, it was shocking to me, because I was like, I don't know if this means that something finally broke in the atmosphere and this thing is going to finally manifest, or if this means that, oh, it's over, it's done with, move on, you know. So I said, in the days ahead, I would continue to focus more on the Kala Bhairava meditation so that I could just manifest whatever is supposed to be, whatever is supposed to come of that in its time, and not get bogged down in oh, it should have been this time or it should be that time, you know. So that was my event for me.
Yeah, well, you know, just to expand a bit on your question about what does it mean when the mala bead breaks. And Dr. Pillai said when the mala bead breaks, because that's the intention, you know, towards creating a better reality for yourself. So when that breaks, whether it's crystal or any other gemstone, or maybe it might be the Shiva Shakti, the Rudraksha and crystal beads. So when it breaks, it means that the karma is broken. So, you know, when you were Googling and it said something shifted, that's, in fact, it's quite in alignment with it. And then further to that, you know, crystal represents the goddess energy. And, you know, Mother's Day is all about getting the blessings from the mother. So that might be a clue that you're getting some more blessings and breaking the karma that maybe your mother had to suffer, or your grandmother, some female in the lineage, or maybe a lot of females in the lineage, you know, as far as marriage is concerned, things to do with creating family and motherhood and all the rest. So maybe that energetically, that took it on, and you didn't have to do too much to break the karma. It just fell apart. The fact that you counted 9 beads twice, 9 is a number that it's, you know, starts again. So 1 to 9, and then you add 1 and it's 10, and then 1 and 0 is 1. So it's a full cycle. So maybe a couple of generations have gone by that, you know, you broke that karma, that energetic block. That's all what I'm picking up. And then what Dr. Pillai says, too, is that you shouldn't put it back together, just let it be, and how to discard something like that, a sacred object, or, you know, something that you use in practice or ritual, is to put it in a stream or a body of water like a river or a lake or ocean, something that is going to be washing away. So don't just throw it in the garbage if you have to discard it. If you have already and you didn't know any better, that's okay. The divine is going to understand that. You know, the saying goes that you want to, you know, discard it in the water, as I mentioned.
Okay, that's good to know, and I'm glad you said everything that you said. What I did initially was just wrap it back up and put it back into its original package and back into the original box that it came in, and I just set it on my table with all my other sacred pieces. And because I was like, I don't know whether to restring it or leave it as it is, but all the week I've been meditating on that and you know, deciding, like the one lady whose story I really liked, she actually took the beads and made it into a small necklace and a bracelet. And so she was saying how she just repurposed the beads because they had served their purpose, or the original purpose. And also I was like, I don't know if that resonates with me, but I enjoy the fact that she did that for herself. And also I just left them on my table and decided that, you know, whatever will be, it will, it the answers will come, you know. So I'm glad that you said that. And the mere fact that you mentioned about it breaking the karma for a couple of generations possibly, I must attribute that to the tarpenum that I have been doing.
That's great.
Because I have been being diligent about doing it daily. And what I had started doing this week was going into the horror watch and checking to see what the good time was for that day. And just as long as it was after sunrise, I would do it during that good time if it was available to me. And if it wasn't, then I would just try to do it at my normal time, which would be like around 4 p.m. my time. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, fantastic. So you're okay with the malas growing then?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And you know, and I'm also glad you mentioned it about being about the mother and the generations, because even though we had that talk last Sunday, when we got off, I was still depressed because you made mention of needing to receive the blessing from your mother about things. And I was like, oh, God, I'm never going to get anything if I have to get my blessings from my mother. And I was just like, you know, it's just not going to work. It's just, I'm finished. And so even with those thoughts, I went into that Shiva Lingam meditation, the Pradosha meditation. I went in with that. So for that event to occur afterwards and then for me to hear you say what it might be in reference to, that makes me feel, I feel like a burden is lifted off my shoulders, because I feel like we said weeks before, as long as you're doing your part, things will happen. Don't try to happen. Don't try to pressure it to happen. Just let it happen in its time. So.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And you know, it's really great that you're bringing that point up, because we get really hard on ourselves when we're doing the practices, and then we have expectation, and we all know whether we're on this path or not. Just in life, when we think a certain thing should happen because we've done something to, you know, make that happen, we've made the efforts. But on this path, it's so interesting because we don't know why the divine does what it does, but it will always give us a better situation. So it might not be the right time, again, Kalabhairava, leave it in his hands, and you will allow that relationship to do the twists and turns that it needs, but you don't have to participate. And then all of a sudden, one day, you know, you will see the benefits, but you will track it back to this point where you started to do the tarpanam, you started to pay really attention, a lot of attention to Kalabhairava. Your intention is to get the blessings of your mother, to move on, to break the karma of the past, generations that are disturbing marriage and starting a family and being a mother perhaps yourself. But it's all that will come to light when the divine says it's right for you. And that's the beauty of it, is we can just let go, as they say, let go and let God. That's not just a saying. It actually is that, because you're just allowing the divine to control it versus you to control it, or me or whoever, you know, is relating to their own karma. Because when we're in control, it's just messed up, you know, and we have these expectations. And like you said, you walked away, even though you saw your mom and you appreciated and everything else that you shared with us about that situation, you still walked away feeling depressed. And then, you know, you gave it to the divine, you just went ahead and did the tarpanam, or to did the Pradosham, and that broke the karma, and then the sign was there. So take that really to heart, and And yeah, be unburdened by it. It's just a matter of shifting your thinking around it. And that's what Dr. Ply says, jump out of your old way of thinking and you'll jump out into a new space of time. And then when you're in that new space of time, you're in an actual parallel reality. And then that parallel reality can be a beautiful relationship with your mother.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I had reached a point where I was like, well, okay, I know how to cut it off. I can just not get married, not have any kids, and I know for sure that that would break the cycle. But I said, you know what? That's not in my heart. That's not my heart's desire. What I want is to enjoy that time in my life if that's what is meant for my life. I don't want to deny myself of it just to prevent something else negative from happening, because I don't, there's no guarantee that just because we have that relationship that I have to have that with my daughter.
Absolutely. I know you'll do it.
Yeah, I can have a relationship with them the way that I have a relationship with my father, you know. So those are the things that keep me pressing forward and keep me looking for the good and everything and not dwelling, you know, in the negative place.
Absolutely, and you never know. You just never know how the divine will just turn that relationship around with your mother. I've seen it with so many people, including myself, over the years, over the decades, and it's an impossible relationship. And then you just want to let it go, and just that letting go is like a surrender. And when you just say, "Okay, I'm done," but not in a way that you're negative about it, just that you better take it over, and then it shifts. And people have said, my mother has passed, so I can't really say anything. But I do feel her on different realms. Because when we do the tarpanum to the spirit or the soul that has passed, as they get more light, and as you continue to pray, so even if your mother hasn't passed, you just continue to pray for that soul inside of that body called your mother. And pray for that soul to get the light and get the intelligence and the love that it longed for. And then she will feel that because she'll be energetically connected to you. And then that's how the dance can make the shift. It can shift in an instant and in a very unusual way. So whether your mother is past or whether she is here on the earth playing, you can still get the blessings because you're talking to the soul. You're from the heart, like you said. You know, you're speaking from the heart. This is just so messed up. And I'm going to just keep saying it's bad because that's what I see, and I can't see anything else. So the divine has to take over and then get me out of slow time, jump me, take me out of that, still the mind, stop it, and then allow that divine energy. And Kalamayaru will help you to do that. The tarpanum will help you to do that. And then your own actions will help you to do that. So catch yourself. And I'm not just speaking to you. Is everybody. Catch yourself in the moment that you are saying things. Because I was just having this conversation with Radha today or yesterday, depending on where we were. She's over in the States and I'm here now. The planets, if you find that you're complaining, then it means that you may have a weak Saturn. If you find that you are wanting to, fight for something that's just, or argue your point, or have an opinion that's just so stuck and it is right, and the other person may be wrong, or that thing is going on, then you may have a problem with the Mars. So build those energies up. So pay attention to Saturn and pay attention to Mars if you are experiencing any of that or to any degree of that, because Mars is all about having passion. And then Saturn is all about having compassion. So those two, when we're on the path and we're we're going more and more towards the light or bringing more light into our lives and love into our lives, those two planets will either make us totally miserable and complain or just wanting to argue, and fight, bicker, things like that. So look at those two planets, and that will calm your mind. It will make you to see. It really helped when I just heard this from the astrologer here, Trotaka. He gave me a reading, and he just said, these two planets, if anyone finds themselves in that situation, because that's what happens on the spiritual path, we bang up against our life, and nobody's telling us. Nobody's putting it there. We did it. We put it there some other lifetime. So it's all our situation. So how are we being in it is we don't want to bust through or break through or pound that thing. Maybe we do, some people do, but there might be a way to go around it. And then when you go around it, then the divine says, oh, here's the goodie on the other side. So, because you didn't destroy that thing or that person or that situation. So just check that, each and every one of us, check that inside of ourselves and relate it to the planet, either Saturn or Mars, and then pray to those, to do the mantra for those planets, or you can go on to the virtual puja, or if you have the app, you can go on, get that. I think it's only like $1.99, something really minimal. So, pay attention to that, and that will help to get you out of the rut that you find yourself in.
I think those virtual pujas are actually free for the planets.
No, they are. Great.
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah, the planet ones. And I know for myself, funny that Ryder mentioned it earlier, but my moon sign is Gemini. And Mars is in my moon sign, and
okay.
Saturn is in my ascendant sign. So I know that that's a lot of my problems. So I had been saving up to get my Nadi reading and the other readings and stuff. So I have been following Vali to try to study it out on my own.
Yep.
And so I am aware now, at least, that because at first I was wandering around aimlessly thinking, woe is me. But once I got, I actually found Dr. Pillai through AstroVed because I was in search of answers. And
right.
So that has helped to calm me down tremendously just to be able to find answers in the stars that resonate with me and my scientific thinking, So
right.
that has helped me unbelievably leaps and bounds. So, but what you mentioned, I have not been doing the specific pujas to appease them. What I had been doing was, maybe wearing the color of the day and keeping them in mind.
That's good. That's good.
But I hadn't been doing the specific
pujas. Yeah, so just chant the mantra, just say, okay, here I am. In that moment that you find yourself looping, just saying, oh, it's like me. I'm sitting there going, oh, I got to book this flight. That's never going to happen. Just stop. I just stop myself. Just stop. I literally said that to myself. Stop it. Like, you're supposed to get this thing. and then right away can go into the midbrain, visualize what you want, and then just pray to, to the being, to Baba, to Dr. Pillai, and the miracle will happen. So, and miracle again, can be, divine or spiritual thing, but it's just an unnatural. It just doesn't make sense in the scheme of what you're doing in that moment. And so you need that miracle, that unnatural or supernatural happening. So naturally you'd be stuck, so I need to be unnatural and get unstuck. So find yourself, when you find yourself in that loop, then you just go in the midbrain and start to, and then do the practices, chant the mantra just a few times, or just think about that being and just say, you know, no more delays, Saturn or Mars, make me to calm down and be really powerful like a general in the army. They don't say too much, just their presence. You know, makes people to respect them and to listen to them. And then you will find that you can just do things really easy. You get a path. You don't have to, you know, do anything that's going to break your back or take too much energy out of you.
Okay, well,
and
I
I'm glad
you
that, so much. You're very welcome. I'm glad that you mentioned about the naughty, because that was another miracle that happened to me. Once I arrived very late, and they had been doing a naughty camp, meaning they were giving readings here in Delhi, and the naughty reader was shipped up to Delhi from Chennai, and he came and he did so many readings, and he was supposed to leave the next day the day that I arrived. And then when I saw him, he said, "Oh my God, I haven't seen you for a long time. You have to have a reading." And I was like, "Yeah." And he said, "I'm leaving tomorrow, but I have other readings, so maybe we can squeeze you in there." And as it turned out, the next day came, and then he finished the readings, and then he said, "Okay, come and have your reading." And so then travel plans changed again. He stayed another day, and then he gave me the translation in person. So, and the message that came across was so profound, and it was, you know, identifying, it gave me a heads up about what is lying ahead, and he said, "This is why the divine made this to happen for you in such a mysterious and unplanned and, you know, powerful way," and it just rolled out that way, and, you know, he went off, and I was able to make sure that I got my list of remedies to do while I'm in India. I'll be able to do them in person. So that's how the divine takes care. And I had no plans to do my naughty, even though I had said to you, "You should do your naughty idea." So not that maybe you will fly here. That would be great. But you don't have to. It's so great that you can just do it online. And that's, I've done it online and done it in person, and it's really, really powerful. So it, you know, the naughty will call you. So don't stress out about it too much. Work towards it. Put the money away for it. And then the naughty will line up with you when it's the right time for you to have the naughty. But you keep praying for it, because my prayer was there has to be a shift. Some shift has to happen in my life. Because it can go along and just be flatline, you know, plateau, which, you know, flatline can mean dead too. Like just I'm lifeless, you know. I don't know what my purpose is. I'm wandering. So the naughty can shed light on the patterns of the past. It's residual. And that is creating energetic congestion in your life. And then it gives you the remedy, the specific remedy for you to do at this moment in time or the time that you get your naughty. And then that frees you from that pattern. And then you can just have this world of possibilities. So I really, really hope that you get your naughty. And anyone who's interested in getting a naughty, you can just go on to astrovid.com, and there's a tab there that says astrology, and then you can go on naughty astrology and read about it. And then that's, if that resonates with you and it is your time to get it, you will just get it either online or in person.
And I'm thankful and excited that you are in India and that you did receive your naughty reading. Because I had a pastor that said years ago that if you want to see when things should be manifested in your own life, just look around at what's going on with the people in your life. And he said, and if the thing that you want to happen to you that's happened to somebody that's close to you, then you know that your time is right on the edge. You should be next, if not next to next. And so it excited me just to hear you say that you were there, and then to hear all the things that have happened to you since you've been there, it just makes me feel even more of a rush, because I'm like, oh, wow, something's about to happen for all of us.
Yay! Well, I'm praying anytime that I do any of these calls or other programs, that whatever the message is, that it comes and it inspires people. So I really appreciate your sharing, Dia, and your path that you're on, and you're such an inspiration for so many people.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about you. We could talk for hours, but I want to give other people a chance to talk too. So I'll just bid everybody a happy and joyful week, and you awesome time in India, and we look forward to hearing from you next Sunday.
Okay, great. It'll be a Pradosham next Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. Get your Shiva Lingam out.
All right, I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Thanks, dear.
Sucharita.
Yes.
This
How
is
are you, Raji?
I'm fine. And I wanted to share a couple of things about what you said within the last 5 or 10 minutes. First of all, I tuned into this call because I was doing something else late. But just in the nick of time, to hear you say something about the divine turning something into something higher when an incident occurs. And then just to let you know that your prayers are being answered in the moment, because as you said, that you pray that people will get what they need at the moment. I got it just in the nick of time. So I wanted to thank you. It was something that occurred with my son this morning, and I wasn't as upset as I have been in the past, but I realized, as you said this, that this could turn into something really, really good. So I wanted to share that. It was so profound when I heard it that it struck me very strongly. So I wanted to share those two things and to say thank you.
Oh, well, Raji, I'm so happy that you're sharing, and your energy is so great.
Oh, I think it was because of the previous discussion that it just really, I thought, oh, this doesn't have to be, something really difficult. It can turn around, and it can turn around on a dime. So,
wonderful.
And I didn't know that you were in India either. So,
yeah, well, I didn't either.
So anyway, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Raji, and God bless you, and I'll be in touch with you anyways.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, take care. Is there anyone else who has anything that they'd like to share or a question that they want to ask? We've come to a full program, come towards the end of it. Radha, do you have anything that you wanted to say before? Oh, somebody's here.
Sucharita, it's Kathy in Alberta.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I had so many amazing things happen this week. Just to keep it short, I just wanted to tell you about a phone call I got halfway through this call. I have an aunt overseas who is just about to pass, and I wanted to ask you about the special tarpanum, how to arrange that. When I think
sure.
You told me that your mother had, you had done it for your mother, but I assume I can do it for an aunt. But I just wanted
yes.
to say in this phone call, it was from a lady who's her caregiver, and her name is Barbara, which I thought sounds like Byrava to me.
Oh.
And anyway, she told me that she's leaving her entire estate to my daughter. And that's just such a huge relief for me. I just take it as Babaji of grace. That, like, my main concern in my life has been, you know, lifted. So that's all I wanted to say. And if you could just tell me how to arrange that tarpanam, it would be wonderful. And I'm so glad, as the other lady said, that you're in India. It's just wonderful. So thank you.
Oh, well, first of all, Kathy, thank you so much for sharing, and I'm sorry to hear about the passing of your relative. But out of that comes the divine, you know, the grace comes. And, you know, and you just having the thought that you want to do something for this person's soul by doing the tarpanam, you know, it doesn't matter if it's your aunt or your uncle or you know, another relative. You can do the tarpanam for anyone who resonates with you, because on a soul level, we all came and we wanted to be a part of a certain gene pool. And so it doesn't matter if it's through marriage, it's still connected in some manner to that person. And so you having that thought, that soul is already going to that level of understanding that this is the way I can help. And so I'm so happy for your daughter and for you as well. And that's a miracle. That's a true blessing and a miracle. And I know that I can feel your heart, and it is a sad time. Again, condolences, but just know that this is, it's so beautiful. And to feel that in your life, to feel that support is really an incredible blessing, and I hope that other people can learn from that too, that you just let go and God will take care.
Right.
And do the things that you're going to keep working towards evolving yourself and evolving other people as best you can without interfering, you know, or impressing upon them they should do this or they should do that. Everybody's got their own path, but the divine will just take care. And thank God for you.
That special call that Babaji gave us on that Monday on the Somastuk Pradosham, he was saying exactly that if you cry to the divine, that he will show you the path. And right at that moment, three crows flew by, and I've been sort of puzzling over that. And just a moment ago, when you were saying about Saturn, that he shows you the path of compassion, that made sense to me. But anyway. So I guess I can just send an email in to Astrovade to set that up.
Actually, just send an email to me, Sucharita,
at
flycenter.com.
Okay, great.
And then I'll be in touch with you.
Okay.
You're very welcome.
Wonderful.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. This is great sharing this week. Is there anyone else who has who's compelled to share? Or are we ready to close the program? All right. Well, thank you, Radha. Did you want to mention anything else about the sun transiting into Taurus or the other planets that are transiting this week?
Hi, this is Radha.
Yep.
No, I don't think so. I think we went over it pretty thoroughly.
Okay.
I hope we didn't go into too much detail even or for everyone, but it's gonna be a great week, as always. It always has a way of being that way.
Absolutely. And you know, maybe it is a little bit overwhelming, but our soul will know what information to pick up and then where it will show up in our life. So even if we, in our mind, that we don't understand it, the soul will reveal. So, again, we've had great sharings from others where they saw crows or they saw the black dog. You know, or just in the life, the situations that, you know, Dia shared about her mom and, you know, Raji shared about her son and Kathy shared about her daughter. All these things are just bringing more and more presence into our life. And presence meaning gifts. Yeah, hey, presence and gifts. But that divine presence, that divine way of communicating to us. So I think it's been really helpful personally, and I always love to find more and more out about the time shaktis, and I really, really appreciate you taking the time, Radha, to share all this information with us and give us tips and tools and practices that we can do throughout this next month as well.
Sure. Thank you, too. It's my pleasure.
Okay. All right. So this looks like it's the end of our sharing today. If no one else has anything to ask or share, then we'll wrap it up. Wishing you all a wonderful week ahead, and put into your consciousness whatever it is that you want to manifest, and get out of slow time, and then pay attention on Tuesday. If any day of this week, pay attention on Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on where you are in the world, what your time zone is. But tune in to Kalabhairava. Read about it. Even if you just read about him, you know, through Astrovet or Ply Center, you can Google it and watch YouTubes. You can. It doesn't matter what meditation you do. That will be the meditation that that being, that divine archetype, is giving to you to tune into him. And then God bless everyone, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.